today on Richard Ellis Talks.
If you want to change the world, you have to be changed first. If you want to be a transformer, you have to be transformed in order for anything else to be transformed. And simply put, you're not going to pull any of that off without a relationship with the living, holy God.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is unlike anyone else, where he shares the life-changing message of the gospel in a way that's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. We know that life is pretty challenging these days, but these talks will help you meet those challenges head-on with biblical truth, encouragement, and direction. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellis.com. So, let's jump right in with today's talk. Here is Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Transformers. Maybe back in the 80s you were a kid or you had kids and they played with little trucks and cars and things that looked like a normal little truck, and then you turn them certain ways and boom, you had a robot. And 2007 a movie comes out and they're back. Robots have personalities and somehow they start out one thing and change into another. Well, supposedly that's supposed to be what happens to people who become Christians. They're completely transformed. And hopefully it's not a back and forth thing where once you become who you are, you don't revert back and go back into disguise somehow. But unfortunately, I think sometimes we get transformed and then we want to go back to our old ways. And we're going to talk about not just being transformed, but being transformers today, literally. Go to Mark chapter 9, if you would. There's a story here. And the word used in this story is transfigured, but it's a word that means to transform. And a lot of these passages that I'm going to read you, the word for transform is where we get our word metamorphosis, where something looks a certain way, but it goes through a process and comes out looking completely differently. And part of my question to you today for us as a church, but for anybody as a Christian, is do you look different? Do you sound different? Do you behave differently? Were you crawling around most of your life and then you met Jesus and now you can fly? Or are you just kind of like stuck? In Mark chapter 9, something pretty amazing happens, and this will give you an example of what literally this transfiguration or this transformation can do physically to you. And there is a day coming when we are not even going to look the way we look. We will be in a glorified body, and what that looks like will be astonishing. It'll be amazing seeing Jesus the way he was transfigured here, but I think his glory in heaven will even be beyond that, because we'll get the full brunt of it and we'll have a new mind and a new body and we'll be able to absorb all that. You know, even the book puts it this way: eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. You have no idea what's coming. I have no idea what's coming. And there are times I read the scriptures and I try to imagine what will heaven be like, what will seeing God be like, and I really don't think we could absorb it if we saw him. If God himself appeared here in his glory, it'd be like an atomic blast. It would just overwhelm us. We'd die because it is too much. His glory is too great. But there ought to be a leakage, at least, in our lives. There ought to be, if we claim that when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit of God moves into a person, literally, here I am in this body, and I am not by myself anymore. The Holy Spirit of God lives in me. I am either hiding him and doing everything in my power to keep people from seeing him, or I am trying to do everything in my power to get out of the way, get anything that is me out of the way and say, Holy Spirit, you have got to manifest the Father. You've got to point people to Jesus through my life. You've got to show yourself, not to knock people down, but where they look at me and they don't even see me anymore. They go, something else is going on in there. And so you read these verses, and I'll read you a bunch of them in a minute. And we meet people, and we work in offices and in jobs, and for years we're around people, and someone says, oh, I didn't know so-and-so was a Christian. That shouldn't be possible. You say, well, I haven't told anybody. You shouldn't have to tell anybody. Amen. If you can't tell the difference in a caterpillar and a butterfly, something's wrong. There is a difference. And when you do say something, which if you really have been transformed, you will not be able to not say something. You're going to say something, or you'll bust at the seams, or burst if you want burst. All right, look what happens in Mark chapter 9. Verse 1, and he said to them, assuredly I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured. And look how cool this description is in the book of Mark. He was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. That was Mark's way of saying, the only way to explain it, if you're going to whiten something, the best dry cleaner, the best washing lady on the planet couldn't get them any whiter than this. They were white. Something happened, something so dramatic happened that literally Jesus' clothes were changed, completely white. And Elijah, an Old Testament prophet, appeared to them with Moses. So who's up there? Jesus, Peter, James, John, Elijah, and Moses. Now, if you think you've been in a situation to freak you completely out, I'm sure Jesus, Elijah, and Moses were okay with this, but Peter, James, and John were in trouble. You know, you're with this man, this God man, and absorbing that's impossible. All of a sudden, you get up on this place, and boom, he starts, you know, just is on fire, turns white, glowing, and then a couple Old Testament dead people show up. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles. We'll put some tents up here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. You ever been there? Well, let's keep talking, because I'm so afraid I don't know what to do, so if I just keep talking, that'll make it all better. Let's build some tents, and what's happening? And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, now the Father shows up, like this whole pack of them wasn't enough. This is my beloved Son, hear him. Now think about this. God wasn't saying that for his sake. He might have been saying it to encourage Jesus. Moses, you know, and Elijah were just getting out for the day, you know, whatever they were doing there. You know, so they're there. But these three disciples show up and see all this, and a voice from heaven says, if they didn't know it already, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. Now, as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things they had seen till the Son of Man had been risen from the dead. So they kept this word to themselves then and didn't tell anybody. Imagine carrying that around. Hey, how was your trip up on the mountain? Fine. It was fine. What happened? Nothing. That's where the whole man talk came from, by the way. How was your day? Nothing. It was fine. Short words because you can't say anything. They had seen something. Now, they had seen something happen to Jesus from the outside that matched what was on the inside that they really could not see completely. And it was God's way of confirming with a voice, with a visual, you're dealing with my Son. Now, this is what is so hard for me to get my arms around and try to explain to anybody. We are still dealing with his Son. If you are a Christian, you have the God of the universe living inside of you. That should make a difference. The disciples could only be with Jesus. And you say, well, that would be a pretty cool thing. I got something that trumps that almost, and that's that I have God in me. So that even if Jesus, who in his physical presence was not omnipresent on the planet, he would only be one place at one time, he's in heaven. I got God with me all the time, anywhere. I can never be by myself. I can never be alone. Even if I start feeling a little lonely sometimes, I really can never be alone. And it's an amazing comfort. And if you're a Christian and have taken that peace alone for granted, you need to stop and think about it. No matter who dies on me, I got one person not dying on me. I got one relationship that will never go away. Now go to Romans chapter 12. This is Paul. He has spent a lot of Romans up to this point, giving them theology, things you should believe, and this is how it works, and here's how all of it fits together. And now he shifts to, you got to do something. There has to be a change. And he uses a therefore in Romans 12, verse 1. He says, I beseech you, which is a begging word. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, let me stop after verse 1 and say this. Writing a check is easy. You want the easy way out? Write a big old check at the end of the service and say, God, I gave some money. You can have my money, but you can't have me. If he gets you, he gets your money, all of you. Some churches have little tables, little altar-looking things you can come down. You know what? I ought to just give an invitation and say, if you're interested in doing verse 1, just come down here and lay down on the ground and say, I present all of me. I give you my body, my soul, my mind, my spirit. Everything I've got, I present it to you. You know, if you really did that, you'd have a hard time going back and doing some of the things you do. There are certain things I like. I like strawberry licorice. You know why? Because there's no fat. It's got to be good for you, right? But every once in a while I think, you know, I pull up to a gas station and I pull a nozzle off. I select certain fuel and I don't put diesel in my car. I put unleaded. I put the cheap stuff because it's, you know, that's what you got to put in it. But I put certain fuel because that's how my car runs. What am I putting in this body? What kind of fuel am I putting in this body to make it run the way it's supposed to? I supposedly don't own me anymore. I've been bought with a price. It's his. What am I doing with these hands? Take your hands just a minute. Look at your hands. Now, nobody knows but you and what this question will mean. I want you to think for 3 seconds what you normally do with these hands during a week. And if everything that you do with these hands is pleasing to God. Anybody got trouble with their hands all of a sudden? You say, well, you're messing with my life. Exactly. Your mind, your eyes, think about your eyes. What do you let your eyes see? That's part of your body. You can go through your sexual organs, everything you've got. What are you doing with this body? And is it pleasing to God? See, it'd be easier to put your body on an altar and die for him than to be a living sacrifice where you had to give him your body and then live a certain way. Dying's easy. Living's a challenge. Now, how are you going to pull that off? You say, well, even if I go with your presupposition, verse 1, I will present my body. I'll lay it out. Oh, God, here's my body. Something's going to have to change because when I go back to my hands, I got trouble. Unless something changes, once I present my body, unless you do something different in my brain, then I'm going to go right back where I came from and I'm not going to be this person you're saying I should be or hope that I would be. How is that change going to happen? Keep reading Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed, or the word means molded, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word transform, metamorphosis, a change, a complete change. But how does that change come about? By the renewing of your mind. If your mind doesn't change, your behavior is not going to change. You will not change. I had a struggle with this. I worked in a church, and one of the leaders made an off-the-cuff comment to the guy who was over me one day, and the guy told me about it, and I have not been able to shake it for over 10 years. And this was the little sentence, "Great showroom, no warehouse." That's how he summed me up. Now, is that true? I don't know. But you know what? It doesn't even matter what God says about me. I get that thing locked in my head, and then the devil says, "Great showroom, no warehouse." Now, what am I going to believe? If I go with that statement, then I'm going to live that way. But if I say, you know what, God, that's one person's opinion of me, but what do you say about me? Where do you think I'm going to find out what God says about me? But in this book. And from other Christians who are quoting this book to me and encouraging me and saying, yeah, here are some weaknesses, you need to shore this up, but this is what God says about you. Do you know what God says about you, or are you just going off of what some dad told you in a drunken stupor when you were 4? Is that who you are? Are you living up to that expectation, that dream they had for you? All parents say stupid things. Find out what God says about you, or you won't change. If your mind doesn't change, your life's not going to change. In the Greek, and I don't usually go into all this, but the word here, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, it's a passive imperative that means keep on being transformed. You've got to stay after this. Now, am I saying that if you just fill your brain with religious information, your life will change? No, the whole presupposition here is that the God of the universe lives in you. You have the power to change. Once you begin to incorporate the change, your mind begins to change, then God kicks in and like taking a little caterpillar who spins a cocoon and something happens in that struggle, a butterfly comes out, something changes in you. You say, well, how did that happen? It's impossible. Exactly, but God does that stuff. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Beyond your life being changed, what you end up doing is demonstrating to the world that it is good and acceptable and perfect. What? The will of God. There's no better way to live but God's way. But see, the world is bombarding our brains with all this stuff. You say, well, how am I going to counteract it? I got up this morning, I've been studying, and I said, okay, Lord, I don't need to study for this now. I just need a minute with you. And I got my normal deal that I read almost every day of my life. I try to. And said, God, I don't want something for this morning for them. I want something for me. Now, did the earth shake and something happen? I don't make it. I'm not going to make it. And I got real inspired to not quit. And to hit the finish line with my chest out, even if I couldn't see, to not quit. And to not only be transformed personally, but to be a transformer of some kind that is making a difference in the world for some good and mostly for His glory. I found this selected, just a little line of questioning. The caterpillar of the cabbage butterfly feeds on cabbage. That of the alfalfa butterfly feeds on alfalfa. The monarch butterfly feeds exclusively on plants of the milkweed family, and hence it is often known as the milkweed butterfly. Thus it is that a caterpillar can often be identified through that on which it is found feeding. What would be your identification on the basis of what you feed on? If I followed you around for a week, you followed me around for a week, I could tell you what kind of caterpillar you are pretty fast. I'm stunned by people who wake up early and find the newspaper on their doorstep and from cover to cover devour it. And they know everything that's going on in the world. Or for the computer and to do searches and wherever you end up. You know what? You are what you put in your brain. And I almost will guarantee you this. If you will take some time and say, Holy Spirit of God, something's got to change, and ask Him to reveal Himself through His Word, and you will take some time at least once a day to spend time in His Word, it is impossible for your life not to change. You want a transformation? You want a metamorphosis? You're going to have to spend time with God and in His Word, or you're going to die just like this or worse, period. And if you want to go on at some point later in the day to read the rest of Romans chapter 12, he goes on, and if you say, well, what will that look like if I'm a butterfly all of a sudden? I'll read you some of the highlighted ones. Look at verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You have trouble with that? Well, my old car is better than your old car, so I'm better than you all of a sudden. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. That's what you're going to look like. But you'll never do these things unless it's just sheer works and willpower. And then if you're doing it without God, you'll be mean as the devil. People who try to live this kind of life without a relationship with God are some of the most bitter people you'll ever meet. Wagging finger, Bible thumping, in your face. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do you associate with the humble? Are you too all high and mighty and good for humble people? Do you meet people and go, oh my goodness, I couldn't spend time with them. They're not of my level, my stature, my social standing. Oh, what terrible grammar. I couldn't spend time with you. Do you find yourself with just normal people? Are you too good for normal people? Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Go on down. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him to drink. You can't be this person without him, without a transformation. Now, I'm going to go back to one little verse here, and it's that little phrase in verse 2 of Romans 12. If you don't want to be conformed to this world, you want to be transformed, it's by the renewing of your mind. You're going to have to think differently or there will be no transformation. Let me read you a few verses out of 2 Corinthians 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I don't have time to read this whole run here, but let's go down to verse 12. And he's talking here about people who are false prophets, who claim to know God and they're religious and, you know, it wasn't just Old Testament guys. Now he's dealing with this in the early church. And he says in verse 12, "But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no wonder. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." Now, it is possible to transform yourself and take on, and I'm telling you, the planet is full of these people who literally would claim, in this case, they said, "We're apostles of Christ." And just by saying it, and we're going to start doing certain things to look like it. But really, they were not. There's a difference. Now, the word here that's used in this passage for transform is a word that refers to the transient condition from which a change happens. The word metamorphosis, that we get the word metamorphosis from in Romans chapter 12, refers to the permanent state to which a change takes place. One is permanent, one is transient. One is an attempt to be different and act different, but really nothing on the core has changed. One of the transformers is a guy named Optimus Prime. If you don't know anything about these things, you wouldn't have a clue who that was. But if you do, you know exactly who Optimus Prime is. And I started thinking about these words, Optimus Prime. This is from the toys. I think he's a Peterbilt truck now who turns into some robot much better now, I'm sure. But Optimus basically means the best, and Prime means being at the best stage of development. We even name our robots after what we hope they'll be. If you want to change the world, you have to be changed first. If you want to be a transformer, you have to be transformed in order for anything else to be transformed. And simply put, you're not going to pull any of that off without a relationship with the living, holy God, where you're talking to Him, allowing Him to pour into you what He thinks about you, what He says about the world through His Word. It'll never happen. You will never be transformed. And you are either being transformed by this culture or you're being used to transform this culture. Which is it? See, you either go into the workplace and say, "I'm going to be somebody in my job. I'm going to accomplish great things and everybody will know who I am." Or you say, "You know what, God, no matter what job I have to do, I understand what my job is. I may get accolades, I may have accomplishments, but I am here to change this place, not for this place to change me." And it's a complete different perspective. If you are here to make some difference in your business world, your career, whatever you're doing, and leave a mark, and it's only your mark, let me tell you something, it's going to get washed away. If he leaves a mark, you got a mark. But he gets all the glory, and that's what you're after anyway.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellis.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's audio and video messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link so you can connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, all of our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
People that I meet, people that come to church, I can almost spot them just looking in their eyes. People who make a run, their pathway, they have a religious path, and most of their week is spent in business, doing whatever it takes to be successful. You say, "Oh, no, but you missed the point. It's to provide for my family." Does that just mean financially, or does it mean spiritually, emotionally, mentally? I think that would mean every category. What are you providing for your family emotionally? All I got to do is look in your kids' eyes to find that out. And people come and go, and this is a stop on the highway to success. But this is not what their life is about. So they come and go, and get back to the real stuff. Let me tell you something. This is the real stuff. This is the huddle for the real game that makes a difference now and forever. And we need each other. Because if you're going back out there for the right reasons, you're going to get your butt kicked. Because you're going to take a stand and you're going to say, you know what? No, I am not going to stay here till 12 o'clock tonight and sacrifice my family to make you a buck and you'd toss me anyway if I don't perform. I got boundaries, I got a life, and I'm going to live it the way God told me to live it. And I may not be successful in your book, but in His book and in my book and in my family's book, we're going to be successful. And because you take a stand, then someone says, that guy's got balance. That woman's got some character. They've got some boundaries. We need that person here. And then you take a stand. Someone else says, well, you know what? I think that is the right thing to do. And people start getting a life instead of just a living.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellis.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, it's the best way to stay up to date with all the audio and video talks with Richard, post on the prayer wall, how you can join the team, and even a place where you can ask any questions you have to get straight biblical answers. Check it out, richardellis.com. Finally, we're grateful when you help us with the cost to bring you this program. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website, richardellis.com. That's 855-6-RICHARD, or richardellis.com. Until next time, thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.